Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And there's a lot in the news today, by the way. We're going to get to that here in a second. Once again, this is the year that we make freedom a reality because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And remember this, there is nothing new under the sun. All the things that we're seeing today, corrupt politicians, massive nation states headed in decline, nothing new under the sun. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and you will find rest for your souls. And that's the answer. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, not in man. And I think we really have to keep that in mind today with all of the things that are happening right now. Which brings us to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, once again, massive deployment of U.S. naval assets to the South China Sea. Now, this has gone under the radar. Now, there was a Chinese daily that put out an editorial against the deployment of two U.S. carrier groups, but as I understand it, there's three and maybe four that are headed to the South China Sea. Again, something to keep our eyes on. Also on the international front, the Brexit. Not having the devastating effects that everybody thought it was, other than taking power away from the globalists and the elitists who don't want to have an independent, self-reliant America either. And so now that the Amexit movement has started, there are a lot of people jumping on board. Thomas Massey, a friend from Kentucky and also a congressman, started this with his House bill to literally pull the United States out of the United Nations as part of the Amexit. And you're probably going to hear more about that. I think people are sick and tired of the manipulation that is going on for the benefit of just a very few to control literally the financial markets across the world. And as we've talked about on the show many, many, many times, this is fact. It's very well documented. You can actually read the history of it in a book called Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley, who is a mentor of Bill Clinton. So it should be no surprise that some of the things that are going on right now in the world, we just need to be vigilant. We need to be Americans. We need to come together, allow the Constitution to unite us. And those forces that are going to try to divide us by trying to take people's things and give it to other people, trying to say there must be forced charity, forced association, those are the folks, remember this, those are the folks that are creating the problem. Those are the folks that are creating division. The people that don't think the Constitution means what it says, those are the people that are creating division because the Constitution unites us. And as I read from my friend, Lavoy Finicum, who was a marvelous man in many, many ways, I read something from him over the weekend. Your needs do not create a right. And this idea that there is some sort of a right to other people's stuff, that is what's dividing us. And no more stark can that be seen in the Federal Reserve banking system and the European Union banking system, which now is having several countries in full-blown opposition to them and really looking to get out of the EU. But it can't stop at the EU. It also has to be the United Nations, because it is no longer what was, I think, originally intended by some, innocently, by some, to be a place where countries could dialogue. Now, the people that actually formed it never had that intention. But I think some people were sucked up into this and thought, well, why shouldn't we dialogue? We don't want any more wars. But the fact of the matter is, it's now becoming a control mechanism, and that was the intent from the beginning. Also on the international front, bloodbath in Istanbul, then in Bangladesh, and then in Baghdad, all associated with ISIS. There's one city that has not been touched that ISIS did mention here a couple of weeks ago, and that city is San Francisco. So folks, keep your eye on that. Be ever vigilant. And you never know. You might be the person who's well-armed, well-trained to stop something like that from happening. Help your neighbors and your friends avoid bloodshed and loss of life. On the national front, I mentioned last week we're going to start a project called Exposing the Left, unmasking the media, and showing who they really are. They seem to always label us, and, you know, if you're conservative, if you're a Christian, if you're a veteran, you know, it doesn't matter what walk of life it seems like anymore, you get labeled by some of these folks in the media. And it's interesting that people of diverse political views agree on this, because the media just does not get it right. In fact, intentionally doesn't get it right. There's a lot of smearing that happens. You see a lot of different tactics they use to marginalize people, drive people down. And I think a lot of people have just had enough of it. So I'm going to take it upon myself to expose the left for who they really are. These leftist media people who smear other people that they disagree with and try to make them look foolish. Let's take a look into their history. So I'm going to start today with a lady named Lorraine Marie. She writes for the Statesman Examiner, a paper out of Colville, Washington. And, you know, typically a conservative part of the state, but instead she pushes a very liberal agenda, and she's connected to socialists. It was 2 weeks ago now, she attacked Steve McLaughlin and myself, and Steve McLaughlin is the most qualified candidate out there right now for lands, public lands commissioner. Attacked him for being a so-called right-wing extremist. He's a veteran. And she even quoted a now discredited article from the Oregon Public Broadcasting to bolster her case. And this article has been discredited, and she's quoting it. So instead of using the slander on that they use, let's take a look at her background. Let's take a look at the facts around her. On June 16, 2011, Lorraine actually signed in at a forest plan hearing. Now, these are the hearings that lock up lots of forest land and uses, okay? She signed in, quote, as being affiliated with several conservation groups, end quote. And these conservation groups obviously include the well-known radical environmentalist groups like Nature Conservancy and Conservation Northwest. The Nature Conservancy, as many of you well know, is funded by George Soros. But it gets more interesting. On May 30th, 2016, Lorraine Marie signed a MoveOn.org petition. Now, this is supposed to be this objective reporter, by the way, which is clearly a George Soros-funded organization, which also, and this is the important part, took credit for the recent Chicago riots. They literally took credit for organizing that. Violence. Actual physical violence. And then it gets a little weirder. She also frequents a New Age holistic medical intuitive, Kathleen Balfour, who, among other things, claims, quote, I am guided to reach those through this program that are ready for tremendous spiritual growth, often extending beyond the confines of a particular religion. Now, obviously, that means Christianity, especially up in the Colville area. So Lorraine Marie writes a testimonial about this New Age medical intuitive. Quote, she also sent me healing energies via the phone and told me when it would clear up, end quote. Well, what was it? It was a sneezing attack. Interestingly enough as well, doing a little bit more research into Lorraine Marie, apparently that's not her real name. And it suggests she has a prior life, obviously. She wants to keep hidden. So, folks, this is just one example of the leftist media that smears and attacks people actually being something a lot more different than they try to portray themselves. And I think that anytime we have this kind of a situation, that we need to expose the truth, expose these people for who they are, and not let them get away with smearing good people and good Americans anymore that love this country, that love the Constitution, that want to see freedom sent into perpetuity and especially given to our next generation. Also on the national front, the Southern Poverty Law Center debunked at on a sheriff's first issue at a Democratic forum. Now, at this forum, the Southern Poverty Law Center said, quote, that the sheriff, okay, is not the chief law enforcement officer in a county, that that was rooted in a, quote, racist ideology stemming from the 1970s. Here's the only problem with that. It was actually the 870s with Alfred the Great. Sheriffs were not only mentioned then and created then in Anglo-Saxon common law, they could go even earlier to the Roman era, but also in 1215 with the Magna Carta, the sheriff is mentioned as well. And the United States Supreme Court in several cases, Prince v. U.S. being the chief among them, have specifically said that the sheriff is a chief law enforcement officer in a county. So I don't know. The SPLC just thinks, I guess, that nobody's ever going to call him on this stuff. Well, we're calling him on it. Also, Herb Titus on the national front saying that Obama's threat to defund over the transgender bathroom issue is illegal. And the reason it's illegal is because they violated the Administrative Procedures Act, a policy guideline they're now trying to make into a rule. But a rule, you actually have to go through the formal rulemaking process, allow opportunity for comment, post notice, all this kind of stuff. That never happened. And you know what's interesting? That never happened either at the state level when they put this into effect on December 26th. So, once again, you have government acting lawless, which brings us to Hillary Clinton. And if you did not hear the news today, they are not going to indict Hillary Clinton, it looks like, that the FBI has recommended she not be charged. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are probably pretty upset right now, but here's the fact. Okay, here's the fact of the matter. We now live in a lawless society. When, and interestingly enough, the day after the 4th of July, when government is above the law, that is tyranny. By definition. We're not now all equal under the law. And interestingly enough, Hillary Clinton has the FBI on her side to keep her to go for the presidency. And I'll tell you, I'll reiterate my concern. I think she's going to win. I think that's the whole game here. Why would you expend that kind of political capital to do that? When it was very clear the FBI director himself admitted she violated every element of the law. Now, the term element is used by lawyers to describe every little thing that has to be met for you to be guilty of a crime. She met all of them. But then he did something interesting. He went and he literally rewrote the law and said, but she didn't intend to harm the United States. But that's not what the law says. The law is written for gross negligence. And negligence, you don't need intent. That's the whole point of having a negligence statute. You don't need intent. It's because you're so careless and so reckless that you are harming other people. That's why it's put in place. So this whole thing about, you know, that she needed intent, that's not part of the law. It was a negligent statute. And so we literally live in an era where now someone who compromises national security gets let off the hook because of not the merits of the case, but because of who they are. And that is un-American. Which brings us to the regional front. Not to be outdone, the Portland police chief gets drunk and allegedly was mocking Ammon Bundy when he tripped or lost control of a 22 and shot a fellow campgoer. Now, the man's all right, apparently. But they tried to cover this up. And by the way, that was 2 months ago in April that this occurred. And this guy's still not in jail, even though he's admitted that he actually fired the weapon. Once again, lawlessness. Lawlessness. And we're not even talking about the EPA destroying a river and nobody being held accountable for that. We're not talking about the murder of LaVoy Finicum. I mean, it's just, it's lawlessness. Which brings us to the next thing on the regional front, July 20th in Missoula, Montana. Joe Robertson is going to have a hearing there at the federal courthouse in Missoula. Would encourage everyone to show up and show your support for Joe, because he is, he built a pond that he had a permit to build, but the EPA came in and said it was illegal. And once again, you have a man facing the bureaucracy of the federal government that should not even have to do that. And also on the regional front, that brings us to Twin Falls, Idaho, where the rape of a 5-year-old girl by 3 Muslim youth was being pigeonholed, marginalized, not reported properly. And then the media even came out and said the people that were reporting on it were lying about it. Well, yes, they were wrong. They weren't Syrian. They were Iraqi and Sudanese, but they were still Muslim youth. And unfortunately, you have bureaucracy there not even helping the people. Apparently, victim services have not been engaged. There have been delays in letting the parents know when the hearings are going to happen. So we sent some of our folks down there from the Coalition of Western States, and God bless Shelley Shelton and Michelle Fiore, assemblywomen out of Nevada. They went and they got the facts, and we put out an article, blew the lid off on this thing. Oh, is this 5-year-old girl going to get justice? Well, we're not going to stop until she does. We're not going to stop until she does. Which brings us to the local front. The Spokane Police Department, and we've been talking about this for a little while, but civil asset forfeiture literally is a tool by which bureaucracies can raise money. And so the way that it works is that there will be a court document that literally says, you know, the state of Washington versus $534.23. That's literally what it says. So there's no person involved. And there's a presumption of guilt instead of innocence. And literally this money, property, whatever it is, gets seized just because someone may have committed a crime and before they have even been convicted of the crime. I want to talk about a violation of due process. Well, anyway, this had started in Spokane in 2012. 2013 was a 600% increase in civil asset forfeiture money seized. So obviously they were using this tool intentionally. Well, now it's been alleged that there's been a misappropriation of that money and a lawsuit has been engaged. But my whole point with this is it shouldn't be there to begin with. It's unconstitutional to begin with. It just, it boggles the mind how far we've come, even though we have a constitution that is clearly written, that means what it says and was supposed to mean what it says, and that the founding fathers went back 2,000 years or more and looked at history and said, this is the best, you know, of all time that we could figure out. We did the research. Now we got to stand by it. Because this is the closest to truth that we know how, keeping government limited. Specific powers that were delegated. The government was supposed to be in a box, not the people. And that's where we're at today. So I'm going to read a little bit of the Declaration of Independence since we had the 4th of July yesterday. Because I think we really need to understand it and hear it and absorb it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable, that means you can't take them away. The only way that an unalienable right can be taken away is either through your death or if you voluntarily give it away. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established shall not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their security. Folks, that statement is as true as it was in 1776 as it is today, all these years later. And all of the things that I talk about on the Daily Intelligence Briefing, I want you to run all of those things through that lens. Where are we at in our country today, and what are we going to do about it? And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for Patriot Radio. Make sure you go to Patriot Radio US, like the page. It doesn't cost you any money. Just like the page and share it with your friends and family, and help us increase our footprint across the Western United States and beyond. In fact, we had some listeners, I think, in Australia. Phenomenal. Patriotism, freedom, liberty. It's a universal language, folks. It is. And anybody that wants to support the show and keep us on the air, go to matt@voteshay.com. You can email me there or just go to voteshay.com and donate. Real simple. Voteshay.com, SHEA.com, and donate. And help us keep on the air and keep the truth flowing out there. Well, it's my pleasure once again to invite someone that has started a veterans organization locally, because private citizens can volunteer their time and do a lot more good, I think, than the Veterans Administration or some of these other agencies that are out there, and really have that personal help and feel. Kevin Oxley, founder of Veterans Handyman, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today, sir.
Well, thanks for having me tonight, Mike.
Well, so I really, if you can, tell the listeners a little bit about what got you involved in this, kind of what started you down this road, and a little bit about your own story about veterans and your own service.
Well, I started doing the free handyman service for disabled veterans back in Los Angeles a couple of years ago. I moved back there to take care of my elderly mother and help her through the last years of her life. Had a lot of free time on my hands, decided I wanted to do something to give back to the vets, and donated, started volunteering at the VA hospital, driving veterans around to the different clinics and hearing their problems and what they've been through and the fights they go through on that. And they came up, started talking about things that were wrong at their houses, and that I told them, well, hey, I can go out and help you fix this and fix that, and ended up doing a lot of handyman stuff for those guys out there, and got to be known as the free handyman, and just kind of developed from there. Just being involved in volunteering at the VA was just a prize in itself, and talking to the veterans when I'm out there, hearing the plight that they go through right now, just to get their benefits in a lot of cases, is just, it's kind of horrible. So I thought, well, you know what, this is something I can do to help these guys, and I'll go out and do it. And it turned into a pretty expensive hobby for me at the time, and I thought, well, when I'm getting taken care of mom, I've always liked the Spokane area. It's been a very community-oriented town and small-town feeling where people ride by and wave at you. A really good veteran town, military town here. So I move up here, and my background in starting up businesses and going in and fixing broken businesses, decided to go ahead and put this together and see if I could get the community on board and help us help some veterans. And that's pretty much how it got started.
Well, why veterans for you? I mean, what was the connection there, and how did that kind of stir your passion?
Well, it goes back to, I think it was 75, I went down to register for the draft, and they said, well, you don't have to register. We stopped that 3 days ago. I turned around and said, well, I don't have to cut my hair? And they said, no, we don't have to do that anymore. But I saw the plight of the Vietnam veteran back then, and you know, all of the turmoil they went through, and you know, the anger that the citizens here had towards them coming back. And I thought, this is crazy. These guys are out there protecting our country, and you know, this is standing up for freedom and the American way. And you know, no matter the position they're in, they just got really bad treatment. And I've been following the plight of that for the last 40 years, my adult life, and just thought, you know, if there's anything I could ever do for a veteran, you know, I'd try to help them out. And it's those Vietnam veterans now that mostly I'm helping, late Korean veterans and the Vietnam veterans. And it's just, you know, something I thought, I can give something back to these guys. I never served myself, but I'm serving now. And it's a wonderful thing.
You know, we all get our specific callings in into our different forms of service. And, you know, thank you for your service and what you're doing right now and helping all of these veterans. And there's such a great need that's out there. If you could tell the listeners a little bit about the need, and also share a couple of stories from veterans you have helped and that have really touched you.
Well, I call it my blessed curse, believe it or not. I opened my doors about 2 months ago in April. I've had over 150 jobs come in, people walking in, calling in. We've completed about 60 of those jobs. I've got about another 100 on the board right now. And it's anything from roofing to plumbing to landscaping to electrical, just about any little thing you could figure. This is stuff that falls between the cracks at the VA. They have certain grants at the VA that veterans on a certain amount of service-connected disability have access to. But there's a lot of stuff they don't have access to that they should, and they're kind of forgotten. And so getting out in the community, the first person we went out and did a job for, Tim, and he had a plumbing issue, and he had turned his water on, and it just kept leaking. It leaked downstairs, and I went over and looked at it, I think, the next day, and figured out what the leak was and got that stopped. And I had a couple plumbers that were on board that said, hey, you know, we'd be willing to go out and help a veteran if you come up with something. And so I called one of our plumbers, and they went over, and a couple days later, well, it was about a week later, actually, before we got over there, fixed the problem, got it all taken care of. They didn't charge me. They didn't charge Tim. Tim was very appreciative of the whole thing. And, you know, it would have been a big issue for him to get that going. Part of getting out there and getting involved with these people is listening to their stories and, again, the plight they go through. And, you know, the things that they have to do to get benefits that should be coming to them without any question, I believe. And I think from the response I've gotten from the community out here, I think a lot of the community believes that also. And so that's kind of led me to where I'm at now. Another guy we went out and helped out, been in his house, in a trailer home for a while, and it was pretty much hoarded out. And we went in with about 9 people and took 5 or 6 hours and pretty much cleaned it all out. Instead of a little trail running through the house, now we could access the back room and the bedroom and the bathroom and the kitchen. And so we went in, we've gone over there several times. We have an adopt-a-vet program, so once we get out and do this with the veterans and see that they have other needs that they might, you know, need after we're gone, we're putting together a program where people can go out and visit them once every week or two and just check on them, clean up a little here or there, see if there's anything that we can help with them. And he was very appreciative of it. I mean, I get out until, again, we've got about 60 jobs we've completed now in the last 2 months. And I don't think I've done that 60 handyman jobs in my whole life, to tell you the truth. But it seemed important to get out there and get this job done. We said we're going to go out and do it, and we're out doing it now. I've got over 100 jobs on the board, and we'll look at everything. And as I start this up, the volunteers I've got coming in, we're going to kind of turn this into a clearinghouse kind of thing is what it's turning into be. And it's just a wonderful feeling, volunteering. Once you get out there and volunteer and get out there and see how it helps people, and it's not a selfish thing, it's something, it's one of the better feelings I've had in my life. And so I seek to have it all the time. So that's pretty much why I'm at where I'm at right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that a lot of veterans don't want to ask for help. You know what I mean? they're very self-reliant people.
It's very hard for them. I mean, Mike, I can tell you that maybe a third of the people that walk in my door, and I never thought I'd be using the word intake in my business, but about a third of the people that walk in, I mean, are basically in tears. They don't know where to go. They don't want to ask for help. They want to be as independent as possible. And I'm out there blasting it out that, hey, we're here to help. And I can't tell you, at least, you know, once every couple of days we have someone that just in tears. And I think when they get out and see that we're actually doing something and it's getting done, and we try to do it as quick as possible, it kind of overwhelms them. We did a ramp for a guy walk-in. He rolled in his wheelchair on last Wednesday, and he just recently lost his leg. Vietnam vet, 5 years, I believe, he was over there. Crawling in the swamps and fighting the battles over there for us. And he said, I bought this house and I need a ramp. He was 20% service connected disabled. And he said, I need a ramp. And he has had private care throughout the years. And now he's going to end up going to the VA care. His private care has ended. So he'll probably get the VA care. But I said, okay, well, jumped in my truck, followed him over to his house a couple miles up the street. And boy, he needed a ramp. He was going up, I think, 7 stairs he was going up to get into his house. And so we went over the next day, measured it out, and brought one of my guys over there with me, Roberto, and we went ahead and bought the lumber the day after that. The veteran said he'd buy the lumber, and Roberto was over there that day. We've been working on that ramp for the last 2 days now, which he rolled down it last night. We got him rolling down it, and we've got a few things to fix on it, but it was just a wonderful feeling to be able to do that for them. And I think him and his wife were looking at it like, we don't even believe this is happening kind of thing. And that's a great feeling. That was just kind of a wonderful feeling.
This is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with Kevin Oxley, founder of Free Veterans Handyman Services, and really doing a great job for the community. And really, thank you for that. And I imagine it takes a lot of stress off of them as well, because you have these projects for them that pile up. Then they feel like, well, I can't get it done because I'm physically unable, you know. And Matt, and that, all of a sudden, it just is a relief to them. I can imagine.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Is just the when I get out, when I started this thing, my idea was, what can I go in to do that will make a difference in this person's life, pretty much right away. And that was my goal, is to get in to clean out this room they haven't been able to get into. So now they have this area to work in, or they're able to look through stuff. A little bit of organization here or there, clean out a garage, get something done that lets them get to the next step. Because like you talked about before, a lot of these veterans are very independent. They don't want to ask for help. But a little bit of help goes a long way in helping them get along with what they want to do. And that's what I found out most of what I've been doing, is just get out there, get that issue or a couple issues dealt with that they just can't seem to get over the hump on, and do some follow-up. The follow-up's important with us, just to make sure that, you know, what we do isn't going, you know, going for naught. It's pretty much how it works. So,
yeah. Well, if people want to find out more about your services, or maybe they want to help, or they want to donate, or how can they get a hold of you? Where can they go to do that?
Sure. We're located at the corner of Trenton Pines in Spokane Valley there. We opened the shop up a couple of months ago, and you can't miss us out there. We sell sheds for Old Hickory Sheds, and they came in and they're giving us 10% of their shed sales. So that's a big thing for us. But I've got my flags out there, my handyman. You can't miss us on the corner of Trenton Pines. You can also go to our website, freehandyman.org, freehandyman.org. We have a Facebook page, which is The Free Handyman for Disabled Veterans. Go there, and you can find out how to volunteer online. Give us a call at the office. All of our contact information is there. And stop by the office, see what we're doing. I've got a small phone room in there. It's about 10 people. We're contacting the community, letting them know what we do, trying to raise a grassroots donor base of people that donate $5 a month, $10 a month to help us grow this business and keep our doors open so we can pay the bills. And also, just with the phone room, if you get a call from one of our people, just ask them any questions you want. But what I tell people is, come on by the shop over at the corner of Trenton Pines. We're almost always there. There's someone on site. Come on in, see what we're doing, see the jobs we have on the board, see what we've got completed, what our operation's about, and just kind of take it from there. Because we are a new organization, and so we want people to feel comfortable if they're donating to us and where it's going and what we're doing with it.
So I know that you, and I appreciate that. I mean, transparency is so critical nowadays. I have people all the time asking me, how do we know this is for real? How do we know it's legit? And, you know, there has to be quite a bit of vetting that goes into that kind of stuff. And also you build trust over time as well as you help more people.
Yeah, and that's been, and it's not something I jump to. And again, I'm pretty much doing this myself with the, you know, the faith in God that the people will jump on board. Once they see what we're doing, once they see that we're out there getting jobs done, there's not a vetting process necessarily for the veteran in need or the disabled veteran. Again, we do work for disabled veterans, veterans in need. That's our vetting process right there. And you can pretty much tell the veterans from the non-veterans. I don't think we've had one person come in that hasn't been a veteran that's asked for our services and kind of abused the process. But again, it's a little bit of seasoning on our part, get in the community, let them know what we're doing, seeing that we're actually out there doing jobs. We don't have a lot of red tape and bureaucracy. Again, the other day, veteran came over in the wheelchair, said, I need a ramp. I was over looking at it 10 minutes later. We're probably going to be complete with it this evening. So that's our process. Our process is we need to find people who have that need and get out and help them meet that need. That's pretty much my acumen in business over the years, is identify a need and meet the need. And boy, I tell you, there is a need out there. Literally, in 2 months, I've had over 150 jobs come through my doors. I haven't really put out much for advertising on it. We go out and look at every job we can get out and make an assessment on it, figure out how we can either get volunteers in to help us, get our crews in with some volunteers to do it. And it's been quite the process. I mean, I've been overwhelmed over the last 2 months. We're starting to sort it out. But it's, again, that's making the sausage, and pretty soon we'll be there, and we'll be there for a long time to come.
Well, Kevin, if you could, you know, talk a little, I mean, you touched on a little bit earlier, but if you could touch on, you know, what services are covered. I mean, what, cause some veterans probably listening would say, well, my project probably doesn't fall under that or something. So if you could be as broad or specific as you need to be to kind of paint a picture here of what you actually can help with.
Well, we do small plumbing issues, small electrical issues, some landscaping issues. We'll come out and mow your yard and your backyard. An example, like a lot of landscaping issues have come up, and we go out and mow yards, but now out here people have an acre or 2 acres they need taken care of. We have a hand push lawnmower. Last Sunday, a week ago Sunday, we got donated a riding lawnmower. It came out of my phone room, people talking to the public. Veteran's wife, veteran had passed away within the last year, donated the riding lawnmower with a bagger and everything, a really nice lawnmower. And I think this is great because now we can go out and do lawns and talk about things happening for a reason. I thought, now we need a trailer to put this lawnmower in so we can haul it around. Well, lo and behold, Mike, 2 days later, a guy come in and said, you know, I have this 2-horse trailer. If you want it, you can have it. And my goodness gracious, we got a horse trailer. We pulled out the center rack on it, camoed it up, and now we have a lawnmower trailer we can put all of our landscaping needs in. So these how the community gets involved. I can't rebuild your house. I can't put a room addition on for you. We can do some flooring issues. We can do some roofing issues. We do some electrical issues. I can fix a door, a cabinet, just typical handyman work like that. Just a spattering across the board. Other than that, if it's a project that gets larger than what we can handle, I have a contractor commitment program that I talked about before where we get contractors on board. And there's a lot of guys out there that have come forward and said, hey, I'd be willing to donate, you know, 2-4 hours a month if, you know, you had projects for me to work on. So we put together a contractor commitment program where we're working with contractors who have donated their time. And we're trying to coordinate that with some of the projects we have to get these contractors out there that are willing to do this stuff for these veterans for free. They just need to know where to go and what to do, and I seem to be becoming a clearinghouse for that. And again, that's part of one of the programs we're putting together. It's starting to develop. I probably have about 30 people on board on that right now, and I'm sure a lot more will come in through your program and other things we're doing out there in the public. So the contractor commitments we're going to start relying on more and more. But just basically any little handyman work. Again, we can't rebuild your house, but we can go in and fix that thing that you can't get fixed. We do a lot of doors and windows, put an air conditioner in. We're going to be winterizing homes coming up here in the winter. That'll be a big thing that we'll be out there helping people do. We also have a thrift store where it's not a traditional thrift store, but it's a thrift store where we repurpose stuff to veterans. That would be appliances, furniture, warm clothing, cars. I say anything with a motor on it. I've got a couple of car clubs in the area that said, hey, if you have a car that needs to be fixed and it's something worth doing and it can get to a veteran, we'll fix it for you for free. So I've got a couple of those assets on board just with two car clubs that I've come in contact with that drive by my shop and have stopped in. So as this starts to grow, you know, what we're able to do is more and more. But just think about just that any little handyman thing we can come out and help you with that, you know, kind of get you over that hump or fix this little thing or that little thing. That's pretty much what we do.
So how many people have you actually helped out so far? You briefly mentioned that, I think, at the beginning of the show, but for listeners that are just tuning in, I know you've had a tremendous impact on the community.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That kind of gives me chills when you say that. I actually counted up the jobs. I've got 58 completed jobs where we've gone out and done something. My crew's gone out and done something. We've probably taken in about 20 donations from people where we've gone and picked stuff up that we've been able to repurpose to veterans. And right before I came out, I counted out how many pending jobs I have. We're just getting them on the computer right now. And it was at 98. I like to say 100, but it's really 98. So I've got about two or three people coming in my doors or calling every day with new work. And again, we're going to get to everyone on this to go out and at least evaluate it, get it in the books and get it online to get something done or try to get the people on board to help us get that done. But yeah, pretty much about 160 jobs since I opened my doors in April. I haven't really touched certain areas of the community where I know more work will come out. Once the word has gotten out, it's good now that people know. I've been able to brand my location there at the corner of Trenton Pines with my free handyman sign on the top. And I have my little handyman guy, cutout guy on the roof with his little handy helper. And I got the handy snipers on the corner keeping an eye out for veterans in need and volunteers and donors. So we've got the location, we've got the people that know we're there, and I can say that number's right around about 60 people that we've served and done something for, and about 100 people on the books waiting to get something done.
So if you do have a message for young veterans that are listening and maybe want to help out, you know, they're still able-bodied, they really have a passion for helping veterans, what would be your message to them, and how do you think they could get involved?
Well, they can get involved with us by going to our website, coming into our shop at the corner of Trenton Pines. We're pretty much there all the time. I would say for anyone like that, just to get involved and volunteer in something, whether it be us or whether it be something else, the feeling I got out of it and the feeling I see that a lot of people have come in to volunteer when you get out on projects is it's really a satisfying feeling to go out and help something and not expect help somebody and not expect anything in return. I can say that's probably the most satisfying thing I've gotten out of this whole thing, is just watching people come in. And people wax and wane with their enthusiasm. But once you get the bug, I call it, once you got the bug, it's a pretty good bug to have. And again, I have so deemed it to be my blessed curse, and I'm glad to have it.
Well, you know, I love the way that you say that, because really, you know, the more work you do, the more work you're going to have to do, right? And especially if you do it well, that's just the nature of the beast. And I think a lot of veterans can can relate to that comment, especially at least my experience in the Army, my dad Mike's experience in the Army. He always said that. He said, you know, if you take more than your fair share of objectives, you'll have more than your fair share to take. And that just really is the way it works. Well.
Seems like the more you have on your plate, the more that gets done. I mean, I've got a crew of about 15 people working with me right now. I never imagined at any point in my life I'd have that going this soon. This is something I thought maybe in about a year or so I'd have. But it just started, it just blossomed on me, and it just morphed into this, I guess you could say it would be, you know, one of the dreams I would have. And I wasn't as prepared for as much that came out as quick as it came out. But we're coming up to speed on that, and with the community getting on board and helping to support us. And again, more than welcome to stop by our location over at the corner of Trenton Pines. We're always open. We've always got some candy or something to eat, or there's always a lot of activity going on there. And see what we're really about. See what's going on. See we're out there in the community actually doing this and not just talking about it. And one of the great things is, about being over there at the corner of Trenton Pines in the valley is people can come by the location. We're a local nonprofit. We're a local brick and mortar. We're not operating out of Minnesota or Northern California or something like that. Our phone room takes in all the money, goes to the disabled veterans, everything we bring out of that, so we don't have to pay for that marketing service. Again, Old Hickory Sheds came in and said, if we sell sheds off your lot, and I have a huge lot there at the corner, we'll give you 10% of everything that sells. And that's the sale price. So these are things that are happening that I'm saying, in my wildest dreams, this would be lovely if this happened, and they're starting to happen, and I look forward to it happening more often.
Well, I think from what you said earlier, I would presume that you're a Christian, and this is a great way of Christian charity to one segment of society that honestly I think really has does have a tremendous need. It really does. Well, this is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with Kevin Oxley, founder, Free Veteran Handyman Services, and just doing a great job in the local community. Really appreciate everything you're doing. Again, if people want to find out more about the ministry, they want to maybe volunteer, get involved somehow, where can they go?
Go to freehandyman.org. That's our website. Or you can also go to our Facebook page, the Free Handyman for Disabled Veterans. Give us a call at our location out in the valley, or stop by our location at the corner of Trenton Pines in the Spokane Valley. We're always out there. We're always doing something, got something going. A lot of the people in the area wonder what's going on in this building. They've seen it vacant for the last 7 years. Now there's a lot of activity, a lot of cars, a lot of people coming in. There's a big buzz going on around there. People are now stopping in saying, oh, I've always wondered what's going on here. So go to our website again, freehandyman.org. Stop by our location at the corner of Trenton Pines in the Spokane Valley. And we'll hope to see you soon.
Well, in the last few minutes that we have, Kevin, if you could, you haven't had any problems with anyone, have you? I mean, has anybody given you grief about starting this up or maybe throwing some obstacles in the way?
I've had really nothing but support from the community from this. Everyone I talk to, they haven't ever heard of it before. There's homeless stuff for homeless veterans. There's Feed the Veterans. There's a lot of veteran programs out there that we all wish could be more successful. But no one said, hey, I've never heard of a free handyman service for disabled veterans. And when you check around, I've worked with a lot of the veteran service organizations, the DAV, the Purple Heart, the American Legion, and they all have guys that are like me that'll go around and do little stuff for people, but they just don't have the money to do it. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a chance on this, that the community will support me and put my money behind this. And I don't have a lot of money, but I'm just a regular guy. But I thought, you know, I'll take some of my retirement money and put this together and take a chance on this community out here. And so far, it's paid off very well for me and for the organization. So,
wow. Well, is there anything that I can do to help you out? Patriot Radio, we broadcast throughout all of Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho, and Northeastern Oregon. I mean, let me ask this too. On top of that, besides any way that we could help, but also, what about North Idaho? I mean, do your services extend over to North Idaho, or are you predominantly in Spokane County?
Well, no, actually, I put about a 50-mile radius on what we do. We've been up to Priest River. I've been up to Sandpoint. We've been out to Coeur d'Alene. We've been out to Plummer. I'm kind of getting familiar with the area now. But yeah, I mean, pretty much, and it depends. If you know, I have a veteran that needed a wheelchair ramp coming home from the hospital, and the VA wasn't going to get on it, and this was up in Priest River, and I was back and forth with his wife, whether they were coming, whether they weren't, and we were prepared at that point to shoot up there and put in a quickie ramp so her husband could get in and out. He was on dialysis and needed to be in and out, you know, three times a week. And her concern was that, you know, getting him and herself in and out. And then, you know, as far as being independent, we talked about that before, and they try to keep their independence. And fortunately, the VA did get up there and get that ramp in, but we were prepared to go up the next day, put a ramp in for her, build her a temporary ramp. And we do a lot of ramps, too, a lot of ramps. Bars and showers and bathrooms, things like that, where there's trip hazards, And fall hazards, because that's a big issue with the elderly and, you know, veterans in need also is falling. So we try to address those needs as immediate as possible. And again, I had another gal who came in a couple weeks ago. Her son just lost his leg, and he's on dialysis also. She had no idea how she was going to get him in and out of the house. She came over. She's kind of about a mile from the shop. She's one of my neighbors. I said, let's go take a look at it. The next day, we were building a ramp. Most of the wood from that ramp came from someone else we had done a job from who donated the wood. They had a bunch of wood in their 3 acres. They had all this wood stored. And so they've been donating wood to us. And they've built 3 or 4 ramps with the wood that they've donated. So these are the things that will pretty much go anywhere and look at anything. That's kind of what we do. It's about a 50-mile radius is what I give it. But again, you know, if you're 51 miles, give us a call. we'll check it out.
Right on. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to make sure that I've got a couple of compatriots over there in Idaho that are legislators as well. Make sure that they get the word out, too, about what you're doing, because it's just phenomenal. We have such a large concentration of veterans here in this area, too, don't we?
It is really. I knew it was, and I've been up here before, and I worked in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is the second largest VA market out there. And, I mean, I could have gotten the work out there. There's hundreds of thousands of veterans out there that need, you know, literally that live out there. I found the Los Angeles community not to be as involved as Spokane, though. I mean, this is a small town community feel up here. A lot of veterans, the military base up here. It is just really a good veteran town. A lot of people I meet on the streets are veterans, and they support what we're doing, and they support, you know, helping other veterans, and they understand the plight of these veterans. And again, it's not just the plight of what they went through if they were a combat veteran or if they have the PTSD or if they're going through the VA and trying to get from a 20% service-connected disability up to 50%, which opens a lot of doors for them as far as grants and things that the VA provide. The VA, the people that work at the VA are wonderful. And again, I worked out in Los Angeles at the VA hospital out there driving people around to the different clinics. And the clinicians and the doctors and all those people are wonderful. When you run into the bureaucracy and red tape, that's kind of where I said, you know what, this stuff's falling between the cracks. And boy, I can't build someone a house like some of the rich guys out there are doing. I, you know, wish I could do that, but I can sure go fix something in their house and make their life a little better. And all we ask is that if anything, they pay it forward. They say, how much is this going to cost me? And we say, it's going to cost you, you know, a story and a smile. And those are the things. Some of the stories we get from the veterans and just what they were doing while they served. And we don't really go into any particular battles or this or that, but just things that are on their mind. And a lot of it is that, you know, a lot of the people that are out there alone are lonely. And just having someone around is a great thing. And typically when I get out into a house, I'll go out for one thing and I'll find another thing. I'll go, gosh, we need to fix this. Or it'll only take me 20 minutes to do this. And then this will work and this will be nice. And just to make their life a little easier. And so that's the way I can give back. And other people in the community can back the same way. Again, just corner Trenton Pines. I'm always there. We're always there. Go to our website, the Free Handyman for Disabled Veterans. Or the freehandyman.org. That's the short version of the website. And we have the Facebook page also. And then everything pretty much on my website now. I've got listed all of the completed jobs I've got. If you go into our projects page there, our completed projects page, that'll list all the jobs that we've completed. I typically use a first name and what branch in the military or they were in, what we did. We're currently right now with a volunteer putting on all of our current projects into another listing, and that'll be up and running here within the next day or so. So people will be able to go online and see that we've got George over here, and George needs someone to come in and help him fix his roof. And it's nothing but putting on about a half a dozen or a dozen shingles. And you know, Betty over here, she's a widow of a veteran. And again, we do widows and families of veterans also. We consider that to be just as eligible, so to speak, as the veteran themselves. In fact, in some cases, they're a higher priority in my mind, because if they're a widow or a family of a veteran that's passed away and they're in need, I'm going to pull through for that veteran, even though he's not here right now and can shake my hand.
Wow.
Excuse me. I can go out and help his family, or the widow of a veteran, or a family of a veteran. Okay.
Well, Kevin, I think that you're an inspiration. You're an example to all. I posted freehandyman.org up on the Patriot Radio Facebook page, and I would love to have you on again. We've run out of time, but sure. Thank you very much for what you're doing for the community. God bless you, and thank you for your service. I think it's meaning a lot to a lot of people that maybe have been forgotten.
Well, Mike, I just wanted to say if I could reach out and shake your hand and say thank you for your service, and that's one of the big benefits I get out of this is being able to shake veterans' hands who have been out there serving under any circumstances, whether it be in wartime, in peacetime, in battle, supporting the battle. Just being able to shake their hands and telling them thank you for your service, thank you for protecting the country, that there's a great benefit in that. So, again, thank you for your service and everything you do.
All right. God bless, Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin Oxley, founder, Free Veterans Handyman. And you can go to freehandyman.org. I posted it up on the Patriot Radio Facebook page as well. Just a great, you know, what a great ministry, actually, to help these veterans out. And also help, you know, help the family members out, too, who are probably struggling as well. Boy, wow. That's powerful. Well, I want to finish Patriot Radio today by reminding you all that are listening, take a look at what's going on around you. And often the solution is very simple. It's just reaching out and helping your neighbors, helping your friends, helping your family, when it even is inconvenient to do it. In fact, especially when it's inconvenient to do it. And in drawing together locally, that's what makes America great. That's what will keep America great. That's how we can pass on freedom and liberty to our kids and our grandkids. And in this era of chaos and lawlessness, really it's going to be us at the local level, that true character of Americans that we just need to let shine through and let the Lord work through us in the way that he wants us to be and to do. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Despite all the internal evil we're facing, we still live in the greatest country in the world. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.